Hello, Reedgate Church family and friends. For those of you that don't know me, I'm the Reverend Dr. James Harding. And Reedgate was our home church in 2015 and 16 before we were sent out to Malaysia as missionaries to plant and pioneer a new Bible college in Kuala Lumpur. It's been 5 years since we started St. Paul's Theological College in Malaysia, and it's now flourishing. We've trained over 150 people from the Southeast Asia region to be pastors and missionaries and lay leaders and church planters, mainly amongst the Chinese diaspora in Malaysia. But we've also had students from Singapore, Thailand, Myanmar, Japan, the Philippines, and India. And you, the people of God here at Reedgate, you have played an important part in that story. As you've prayed for us, as you've remembered us and supported us in so many ways, and as you've sponsored students through their ministerial training. And now, the Harding family are back in the UK. And our church family at Reedgate, you've played an important role in us being released back into the UK, because over the last few years, you shifted your giving from supporting individual students to training up theological educators. And you've supported Charlotte Jialert Ung and Simon Dakmin Kang through their postgraduate studies in theology. And that's meant that they are now teaching and training people throughout Southeast Asia to be pastors and missionaries and church leaders. And that successful leadership succession plan has released and enabled us to come back home to UK. So Reedgate Church, thank you for all that you have done to see the kingdom of God advance throughout Malaysia and beyond. For the past 8 weeks, I've been sleeping on an inflatable airbed. And it must have a weak valve or faulty seams as slowly over the course of each night, the air escapes and the bed deflates. And I wake up on the cold, hard floor with an achy back. Invariably, I start off my day in a grumpy mood. Do you ever feel deflated like that? Maybe you can connect with me. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, we read, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vineyard, for our vines have tender grapes." Beware, watch out for catch those little foxes that spoil and ruin and destroy the vineyard and take the tender fruit and rob us and steal from us our joy and our love and our peace. Similar language is echoed in Isaiah chapter 16, verse 10, which says, "Gladness and joy are taken away from the fruitful field. In the vineyards also, there will be no more cries of joy or jubilant shouting." Beware of little foxes. Watch out for little foxes that spoil the vineyard and rob the fruit. Now, what I love about Meadgate Church, what I love about the vision for the Orchard, is that this church is a fruitful place. And when you take some time to look back over the years, it's just so inspiring to see all the fruit that has grown at Meadgate Church. And even now, God is moving. God is moving at Meadgate and the fruit is growing. And it's so inspiring to hear about the children's work, for instance, that goes on midweek in the cafe with the soft play, and to hear about your community outreach and providing food, and also how you reach out and support those who've become isolated during the pandemic. And I pray that God continues to bless and grow that fruit at the Orchards in Meadgate. But today, I want to ask you, did you know our fruit can be robbed? When we turn to Jesus and we turn away from our own selfish desires and wants, and we give our lives to Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit comes and pours into our hearts the love of God, and the Holy Spirit comes and starts growing the fruit of the Spirit in us, and God's Spirit is at work in us and starts to produce a harvest in us. And instead of just loving ourselves, we start to love people more, just as Christ loves people. And instead of sadness, we start to feel a deep joy welling up inside of us. And instead of fear and anxiety, we start to experience this unshakable, indescribable peace that surpasses all understanding. And when we start living for the kingdom, we get this future hope, which brings a patience in our present tribulations and trials, because we know how to wait, because we know God's got something more in store for us. And so that hope gives us patience. And out of an overflow of all that God has done for us, we start to treat other people around us with that same kindness, that same loving kindness with which God himself has shown to us. And those of you who've been Christians for any length of time will of course have realized by now that I'm talking here about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Those 9 characteristics that the Spirit grows in us as we live together in community. And keep praying, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, fill me afresh with your life and your love and your power. But I don't need to talk about the fruits of the Spirit today, because Meadgate is a place of fruits. I want to talk about what happens when we feel like we've lost that fruit. Beware, watch out for, catch those little foxes that spoil and ruin and destroy the orchards and the vineyards and take the tender fruit and rob us and steal from us our love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because if we're not careful, we can lose that fruit. I know that I certainly did. I know that I'd lost that fruit. As I sat down last week to start writing, as I sat down and I looked at my computer, as I sat down, I realized I had absolutely nothing. I'd got nothing. I'd literally got nothing to say and nothing to give. And I realized that ever so slowly, 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 bit by bit, little by little, over the course of the last 16 months, I'd lost all of my joy. all of my passion and fire and drive and enthusiasm, and my smile had gone. I'd lost my joy. There was no sudden, dramatic explosion. That morning that I sat at my desk to start writing, I wasn't like a balloon full of joy that suddenly burst, spilling out all of the joy in all directions in a dramatic, effluent spillage of joy, like an oil slick of joy staining the floor and splashing out onto the walls. I think I was more like a neglected and forgotten party balloon that had ever so slowly shriveled and deflated and seeped. I didn't suddenly pop. I slowly leaked. A bit like my airbed. Beware of little foxes that spoil the vineyard and rob our joy. You guys at Meekay, over the years, you've invested so much in the kingdom with such open, generous hands and hearts. Just think about all the people, all the fruit that you've sent out into the harvest, into the mission field. But then we all have to admit that the last year or so has been really tough. I know you've not been able to meet together at the orchards in your vineyard. We've not been able to sing together. We've had to get used to newfangled technologies. There's been distance, fragmentation, and isolation. People have been sick. People have lost their jobs. People have experienced fear and anxiety and uncertainty. Maybe over the past year, you, like my airbed, have just slowly deflated, and you've been left feeling a little bit empty. And we've never even noticed the little foxes have come into the orchard, into the vineyard, to rob our joy, our love, our peace, our passion, our fruit. If you can connect with me on that, if you're feeling like that too, then there's four things I want to encourage you to do about it. Four things. Number one, open up. Open up with vulnerability. Number two, own up. Own up with humility. Number three, show up. Show up with integrity. And number four, speak up. Speak up with courage. Now, I'll unpack those four things in a moment, but first of all, here's what not to do. Here's what you shouldn't do if you're feeling deflated and the little foxes are in the orchard trying to steal your joy, your peace, and your love. Don't revert to one of these five archetypal animal attitudes when the little foxes come. Number one, don't channel your inner sloth. If you ever find yourself in the jungles of South America, look up into the tree canopy and see if you can find a sloth. You probably won't. They are there, but it's highly unlikely you'll actually see one. You see, sloths spend 90% of their lives totally motionless. They are so slow in movement that algae grows on them. When threatened, the top speed of a slope gets up to 0.003 miles per hour. Their diet is so low in nutrients that they have very little energy, not even enough to support their own body weight. They only come down to the floor to poo, at which point they are completely helpless. Sloths live a solitary life. They rarely interact with one another, passive, detached, and unaware. Best describes them. And if you're feeling deflated by life today, if you're feeling like you've lost your joy in the Lord, your peace in the midst of troubles, and your love for the church, when the little foxes come into the orchard and trample the vineyards, don't do nothing. Don't just do nothing about it. Don't be isolated and solitary and passive and detached and unaware. Don't be a sloth. And number two, don't channel your inner skunk. Now, throughout North and South America, you will find the bold, overly confident, black and white striped mammal known as a skunk, famous, notorious for the glands on its bum that enables it to spray a foul, fetid, sulfurous oil some 10 feet towards potential attackers. With such a high degree of accuracy and so potent, it can be smelt from nearly 6 kilometers away. The stink created by an encounter with a skunk and the fallout zone around it is huge. And if you feel deflated in life, if you feel like you've lost your joy in the Lord, your peace in the midst of troubles, and your love for the church, don't turn your back to the danger. Don't lift up your tail and expel a stinking, foul odor behind you for someone else to clean up and clear up, because the fallout for the church is huge. When the foxes come into the orchard and trample the vineyards, don't turn your back on the vineyard, leaving a massive pile of beep to clean up behind you. Don't be a skunk. And number three, don't channel your inner eagle. Hey, the eagle's impressive. Birds of prey in general are magnificent, aren't they? All birds of prey have excellent long distance vision, but there's something majestic about the eagle. The eagle really stands out. They can see clearly about 8 times as far as humans can. They can spot a small mouse or other small animal and focus in on that small thing from a distance of over 3 kilometers away. And the other thing about avian eyesight, it's true of all birds, including eagles, is birds don't get mirrors. When birds see their reflection in a mirror or in glass, they think they're just seeing another bird. They're not aware that it's themselves that they're seeing. In fact, very few wild animals are self-aware in such a way that they can make that connection, that they're actually looking at themselves reflected back in the glass in the mirror. Eagles constantly searching other vineyards, other orchards, fields for suspecting prey. And when an eagle sees itself in a mirror, it sees someone else, not itself. If you're feeling deflated, if you've lost your joy in the Lord, your peace in the midst of troubles, your love for the church, I want to encourage you to spend some time in self-reflection. Spend some time looking into the mirror and ask yourself, how are you contributing to to that problem. Because it's so easy to be the eagle, to see with great clear eyesight all of the problems in everyone else, with an eagle vision to see, oh, he did this and she said that and they didn't do that. Like the eagle, many of us focus outwards towards others, but don't peer inwards in self-examination through the mirror to see how we may be complicit in our own struggles. And it's easy to look out of the orchard like you're in a greenhouse or a glasshouse, through the glass to see others, rather than looking at our own reflection, reflected back in that glass, and taking ownership ourselves for when things don't go well, and acknowledging our own failures and weaknesses. And when the little foxes come into the orchard and trample the vineyards, don't be the eagle up there who doesn't realize they themselves are at fault as they hover above contradiction, too busy looking at what others are doing. Don't be an eagle. Number four, don't channel your inner turtle. Or you're in a tortoise if you prefer the land, or you're in a terrapin if you prefer fresh water. Turtle, tortoise, terrapin, you know, they've all got these hard, bony shells which act as a shield of armor, regardless of whether they live in the sea, on land, or fresh water. And any kid who's ever picked one up knows what it immediately does when you grab it. It instantly pulls its head and legs into its shell to hide. All the soft, fleshy, vulnerable parts are hidden behind a solid wall, a solid defense, safe from attack. And we, in similar fashion, sometimes we can retreat into our spiritual shells and hide behind a spiritual veneer. You know, when we go through difficult times as a community, like we're all doing with this global COVID pandemic, it's all too easy for us as Christians to turn to the Bible and pray and look inwards towards self-preservation. And, you know, turning to the Bible first and praying first, that is great. I want to really applaud and encourage it. But I wonder how often prayer then can become an excuse to help us avoid dealing practically with issues at hand. And actually, when you dig deeper, you find that praying, or I'll pray about it, usually means praying on your own, inside your shell, reading the Bible on your own, in your shell, in your study, in your office, in your own. Can you see how prayer and Bible can become privatized, individualized spiritual means as a default response to danger inside your shell? And then when the little foxes come into the orchard and trample the vineyards, and the turtles retreat into their shells to read their Bible and prayer in that safety of their own shell, and they don't do anything practically to repair the fence and to stop the foxes, then the fruit is destroyed, and we lose our joy in the Lord and our peace in times of trouble and our love for the church. Don't be a turtle. And finally, number five, don't channel your inner lion. I mean, lions are great, aren't they? We give lions the honored position of king of the jungle. Lions are the alpha, apex predator. Lions roar a lot. They have big teeth. They exude self-confidence. They also lie around sleeping all day, let the lionesses do all the hard work, and usually get their own way. Easy to admire lions and want to be like a lion. But is that really a good way to deal with struggles and difficulties in the church community? It can be so tempting if things aren't happening the way we think they should happen, to immediately, like a lion, confront the issue head on. Although, you know, I tend to be a turtle at times, handling my hurt in private and in prayer. But I do know as well that at times I've roared too quickly when someone has challenged me in my ministry. Too often I've been the apex lion and verbally fired back in defensiveness at someone who's criticized me or shot back a roaring instant email, only to regret it later. I wonder if you can connect with that. And when the little foxes come into our orchards and trample the vineyards, then the lions roar with terrible teeth and terrible claws, and the fruit is destroyed, and we lose our joy in the Lord and our peace that surpasses all understanding and our love for the church. Don't be a lion. So if you, like me, woke up one morning feeling deflated and defeated, if you feel like little foxes have got into your orchard and robbed the fruit of your vineyard, if you feel like you've lost something of your joy in your Lord, or the peace that overcomes fear and anxiety, or your love for the church, don't revert back to an animal archetype. Instead, I want to give you four things that we can do, that I'm trying to do, to get the love, the joy, and the peace back in our vineyards and back in our orchard. Open up, own up, show up, and speak up. Let's look at those now, just in conclusion. Number one, open up. Open up with vulnerability. Open up with vulnerability. If you feel like this past year has robbed you of your joy and passion, or of your peace, open up. Open up, be vulnerable, and share that openly with someone. We all need to find safe people, people with whom we can open up to, people with whom we can be vulnerable with and talk to openly. And, you know, because everyone has probably felt that way at some point over the past year or at some point in life. You know, even the prophet Elijah, even he felt deflated and defeated when he bolted from Queen Jezebel after a great spiritual victory, and he sat there in a cave feeling depressed, thinking that he was the only one left who followed God. Even Jonah felt like this when he had a whole city, when he led a whole city to repent, and then he sat under a vine in the sun on his own, feeling utterly depressed and deflated and defeated. We've all felt like it. And if you're feeling deflated and defeated, the first thing I urge you to do, if you feel like you've lost your joy and your passion and your peace and your love for the church, is to open up to a friend. Find a friend, a safe person who truly listens, and occasionally offers advice, but consistently supports and strengthens and encourages and believes in you. Open up with vulnerability. And number two, own up. Own up with humility. Owning up with humility involves honestly admitting what frustrates us. It means owning up to where we failed and owning up to what we've got wrong, where we've been defensive, where we are at fault, where we've failed and got things wrong. And then, with God's help, humbly reordering our frustrations and failures once again to align with his priorities and purposes for our lives and our families and our work and our ministries. And if you're feeling deflated and defeated, if you're feeling like you've lost your joy and your passion and your peace and your love for the church, own up. Admit how you haven't kept the little foxes out of the orchard, how you failed to keep the walls of the vineyard repaired. But it takes humility, Christ-like humility, to have a heart that is humble and lowly, just like Jesus's. Own your poverty. Remember that you are just dust. Who am I? Who are you? Who are we to have the words of God on our lips and to carry his gospel to others? What a joy, what a privilege to remind ourselves of that. So own up. Take a regular time for confession, for repentance, for practicing humility, and own up with humility. And number three, show up. Show up with integrity. Now is not the time to retreat. Now is not the time to be absent. Now is not the time to go AWOL. Now is not the time to disappear off the face of the earth, or like Jack Bauer in 24, to destroy your SIM card and go dark. Show up. You need to show up to be present, to be there. And as I was praying for you guys at Meadgate, I just felt those here. I just felt those words that to pray of you, that I am convinced and confident about you. As just as Paul wrote to the Philippians, I am convinced and confident that he who began a good work in you at the orchards will continue to perfect and complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to complete it. There's more in store for you. Jesus was a completer, finisher. He didn't just drop out when things got tough or drop off the scene when it got hard. You can't deal with disappointment and frustration and pain and hopelessness and anxiety and exhaustion and joylessness by just dropping out and dropping off the radar. Because when you do, the issue behind it and the problem underlying will just resurface and it will haunt you and follow you. You have to turn up and be there and confront it. And that's having integrity, the integrity to stick it out to the end, to complete what you started. So show up with integrity. And finally, number four, speak up. Speak up with courage. If you, over the past year, ever woke up feeling deflated and defeated, if you lost your joy in the Lord, if you've lost your peace that overcomes the worries of the world, if you've lost your love for the church, if you're struggling to find your passion, if, as Isaiah said, gladness and joy have been taken away from the fruitful field and the orchard, if you're in your vineyard, there are no more cries of joy or jubilant shouting in your orchard. Speak up. Speak up. Oh, but boy, that takes courage to speak up. It takes courage to admit it to yourself. It takes honesty to admit it to God. But I'd also encourage each one of you to speak to whoever it is who gives you spiritual guidance and direction and mentoring. Speak to your pastors and leaders. Speak up. Have courage. Dare to say, I'm feeling defeated and deflated. Dare to say, I've lost my passion. Have the courage to say, I've lost my joy in the Lord and my peace that surpasses all understanding and my love for the church. Because that's when you'll begin to feel the resurrection power starting to work again in your life. That's when you'll start feeling God bringing dead things back to life. That's when the green shoots will start to bear fruit again. That courage drives out the little foxes from the orchard. Don't be a sloth. Don't just do nothing about it. Don't be a skunk. Don't create a stink about it. Don't be an eagle up there, distant, but looking for someone else to take the hits. unable to recognize yourself in the mirror. Don't be a turtle retreating into a defensive shell. Don't be a lion with terrible teeth and terrible claws. Open up with vulnerability. Own up with humility. Show up with integrity and speak up with courage. And I believe that today God wants to start restoring that fruit of the Spirit in your life, to bring again afresh, to bring a love for the church, joy in the Lord, a peace that transcends all understanding, even in the midst of the trials and the tribulation and the suffering and the sorrows, a peace that will guard your heart, which is your feelings and your emotions. Philippians 4 verse 6 and 7 says, and to guard your minds, your thinking and your knowing, again, afresh today. Amen. Amen. Look forward to seeing you soon, everyone. Goodbye and God bless.